Okay, we're beginning here on the top of Mem Tevin on Aleph with the new Perek in the Mishnah. As Rashi notes over here, the Mishnah belongs in Bava Metzia. It is a Mishnah in Bava Metzia. The reason is brought over here is Mishnah Zot Kvar Shnuya V'Socher Tapolim Kol Ki Hai Gavna V'Hai Da Hador Rabbi V'Tanya Hochon. Why did he bring it again here? Mishum Dabai Lemitnei Chiyuvei Upture De Kurban Shvua Didhu. Because he wants to discuss the issues of Shvua. So, vis-a-vis the Shomrim, it belongs in Bava Metzia. Vis-a-vis the Korban Shvu'ah that you could result in from, we'll see, the incidents in the Mishnah, it belongs here in Shvu'ot, and that's why you have a repetition of a Mishnah that is found in Bava Metzia. Arba'a Shomrim Hain, there are four different categories of Shomrim. Shomer Chinam, someone who watches something without any compensation. Hashoel, someone who borrows something. Nosei Sachar, someone who watches something for compensation, doesn't have to be actual compensation as we saw before in the Gemara, just needs to be some form of benefit that he is gaining from the watching of the object, including Pruta de Rav Yosef, Vasocher, and someone who is a renter. Now, even though in the Torah, the order of the Shomrim in the Torah is Shomer Chinam, Shomer Sachar, and then Shoel, a socher does not appear in the Torah, and it's a machloket, as we'll see later today, in Bava Kamma and other places, between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir, as to whether a socher has a din of a shomer chinam, or does he have a din of a shomer sachar. But the order here has been changed, because, as the Balei Tosafot note, and you can see it as we move through the Mishnah, shomer chinam and shoel are polar opposites. The shomer chinam is kimat patur on everything, and the Shoel is Kimat Chayav on everything. So if you are contrasting, again, remember when you're memorizing a Mishnah, having the Shomer Chinam versus the Shoel is helpful. And then the Nosei Sachar V'Socher, we'll see later on in the Gemara why that might be helpful as well. Shomer Chinam Nishba Lakol. When it comes to Shomer Chinam, he takes a Shvua with regards to any issue. The truth is, it's not any issue. If he's a Posheya, then he's not going to take a Shvua to release himself from the obligations. But Shoel Mishalei Metakol. Shoel pays for any incident that happens, even cases of ones, but it's not always true because the Shoel does have a release of Meta Machmat Milacha if it dies while it's doing the work, because as the Gemara says, he didn't borrow it to leave it in the shed. He borrowed it to use it, and if it dies while he's using it, that's not his fault, and therefore he is Patur. Yosei Sachar Vasucher Nishba'im Ala Shvura Vala Shvuya Vala Meta. They take a shvua to release themselves in cases of ones. These are the examples that are brought in the Torah. That's why they're mentioned over here. The shvura, it got injured or hurt somehow. Shvuya, it was taken captive or ran off. Valameta, and if it died. Umishalmim et aveda et agneva. And they are responsible for it being lost or for it being stolen. I mean, in those cases, you'll have to pay. So now the Mishnah goes through all of these permutations. And the truth is, it seems excessive, but it's going through all the different possible permutations that you could have, and then telling you what the din will be. So, Amar l'shomer chinam. Person says to the shomer chinam that's watching his animal, Hechan shori, where is my ox that I had left with you? Amar lo, mate. He responds to him and said, it died. Vehu. But the truth is, shinishbar, it got injured, onishba, or it was taken away, onignav, or it was stolen, Oavad, or it was lost. Or, his response is, Nishbar. It was injured, it got attacked by another animal. Behu, and the truth is, Shemait, that it died. O Nishbar, it was taken away. O Nignav, it was stolen. Oavad, or it was lost. Or his response is, Nishbar. It was taken away, kidnapped, or gotten lost. Behu, Shemait. The truth is that it died. O Nishbar, or was injured. O Nignav, or was stolen. O Avad, or he lost it. Nignav, or his response is that it was stolen. Behu, and the truth is, Shemait, that it died. O Nishbar, or it was broken. O Nishba, O Avad, or it was taken captive, or lost. Or his response was, Avad, it was lost. Behu, and the truth is, Shemait, it died. O Nishbar, O Nishba, O Nignav. Died, it was injured. It was taken to captivity, or it was stolen. So in all of these cases, they just went through all the different possible permutations of what he could have answered, and what the truth was the other possibilities. Now, again, the possibilities are those that are found in the Psukim by the Shomer Sachar, which are Geneva Aveda, Nishbar, Nishba, and Mate. So those are all the examples in the Torah. So it went through all of those five permutations. And then he says to him, Mashbiacha Ani. I want you to be under an oath that this is the truth that you're telling. Ve'amar Amein. And he responds, Amein, accepts the Shvua. Patur. In this case, he is Patur from Shvuat HaPikadon. The reason being that a Shomer Chinam is Patur Alakol. That means no matter which of these items he had said, he would have been Patur. So whether he tells the truth or whether he lies, he's still Patur. And that means that his Shvua didn't do anything to release him from a monetary obligation. So his false Shvua was simply that, a false Shvua, but it didn't change the status that he will not have to pay in any of these instances. Heichan Shuri, if he says, where's my ox that I gave you to watch? Amalo, eini yodea, matasach. Because I have no idea what you're talking about, denying the fact that he ever was watching this animal. Though, and the truth is, shemait, onishbar, onishba, onignav, onavad. The truth is that it died, it was injured, it was taken to captivity, it was stolen or lost. Mashbiacha ani, I want you to be under oath that you're telling the truth here, v'amar amein. And the person responds favorably. Patur, again he is patur, because his denial of the Shmirah makes him patur. But so would have the truth in this case. Any one of these items, whatever had happened to the animal, had he told the truth, he also would have been patur, so his Shvua is not releasing him from any monetary obligation. Heichan Shuri, where is my ox? Amarlo, avad, it was lost. Mashbiachani, I want you to be under oath that that is the case. V'amar amein, and he says yes. V'aidim me'idim oto she'achalo. And now we get a din to come in and tell us that he ate it. So he said it was lost, and instead he had eaten it. Mishalem et hakerem. Here he's going to be responsible for it, because he basically stole it by eating it or taking it away from the person that deposited with him, and his claim had been that it was lost, which was something that would have made him patur. So therefore he's chayav the keren. Hodeh me'atzmo, on the other hand, if he admits of his own volition, Mishalem keren v'chomesh v'asham, then he will be subject to Shvuat HaPikadon, and that which is required by Shvuat HaPikadon, which is a return of the keren, an additional chomesh, which is really 25% above, v'asham, and the asham gzelot, which comes for Shvuat HaPikadon. The difference being that if he incriminates himself, then we consider him chayav in the korban, because the person has to be basically doing tshuva and wanting to rectify the situation in order to be chayav in Shvuat HaPikadon or in the Asham Gzelot. On the other hand, if he's incriminated by Edim, there he only pays the Karen because he was now caught by the Edim and not by his own admission. So he has to pay the individual deposited with him, but that's it. He gives him back the Karen and he's done. Eichan Shuri says, where is the ox that I deposited with you? From Arlo, Nignaf. In response, it was stolen. Mashbiachani, again, I want you to verify this under oath. V'amar amein, in response, yes. V'aidim eidim oto shiganvo. And now we get eidim coming and telling us that he really stole it. Mishalem tashlume kefel. There he pays kefel. This is a parshiyah in the Torah. If you remember from Perek Merubah, there are actually two parshiyot of neiva that are found in Parshat Mishpatim. And there the Gemara separates between them and says one of them is for a ganav, literally a thief, and a thief who steals is then chayav kefel. The other parshia is for to'ein tanat ganav. That's when a shomer chinam claims that it was stolen. He has the same status as a ganav, and that means if he's caught making the claim that it was stolen, he pays kefel as well. And that's why the din here is different than the previous case. In the previous case where he said it was lost, and then he's caught by the edim that he had eaten it, there he only pays keren. Over here where he's toin tanat ganav, he made a claim that it was stolen, and he was the one who really stole it, or whatever he did with it. In this case, the edim will make him chayav kefel, like that of a ganav, and that's what we otherwise known as toin tanat ganav. Hodeh me'atzmo, on the other hand, if he admits of his own volition that he lied about the fact that it was stolen, and he really stole it, mishalem keren v'chomesh ve'asham. In that case, he pays the Karen and Chomesh, and brings an Asham, because that's Shvuat HaPikadon, the Asham Gzelot, that he has to bring for lying under oath to release himself from monetary obligation. Amar le'achad bashuk. He says to one guy in the middle of the shuk, Eichan shori sheganafta. Where is my ox that you stole? Hu amer lo ganafti. He said, I didn't steal it. Ve'edim edim oto sheganvo. But we have edim that are testifying to the fact that he did steal it. Mishalem tashlume kefel. Then he pays kefel. This is your classic case of gneva, where a person steals something and denies it. Rashi over here says that is the girsa of our Mishnah. If you look in the Balei HaTosafot, he says, Bekuntres lo garsin en hacha mashbiacha ani. What's clearly absent from this part of the Mishnah is the Shvu'ah. Rashi says it doesn't belong here, and these are plain cases of Gneva and basically Modeh Beknas. The Balei HaTosafot bring that there was an alternate girsa that actually had Shvu'ah in it, and it's clear Rashi also had it because he changed the girsa to not have Shvu'ah in it. And the truth is that it probably makes more sense to have the case here have Shvu'ah because then it belongs here in the Mishnah in Shvu'ah. Without the Shvu'ah, it's a classic Baba Metzia, Baba Kama case, and then it doesn't really belong in the Mishnah unless you just say it's coming with the flow of the Mishnah. The other girsa has Mashbicha Ani, take a Shvu'ah to the fact that you did not steal it. Then if Edim come and catch him, he will pay Kefel. If he admits of his own volition, then he will pay Karen B'chomesh V'asham. And that's what the Balei HaTosafot point out, that if you change the girsa, like we have in our Gemara, you have to eliminate the line in the Mishnah that says, Hoda Be'atzmo, Mishlem Karen B'chomesh V'asham. Because that only applies when you have a Shvu'ah. If you don't have a Shvu'ah, then that does not apply. And as the Balei HaTosafot point out, that Mara in Baba Kama seems to be midayek out of our Mishnah, exactly that, from that information, which seems to imply that it was in the Mishnah, and now, like Rashi, you took it out of the Mishnah. So, we'll read it, what we have in the Mishnah, but just know that there was this other alternative, girsa. Tavach umachar, if he not only stole it, but he shechted it, or sold it, mishalem tashlumei arba v'chamisha, then he pays 4 or 5 times, like the Torah says. Ra edim shimimashmishim ubayin, he said that he didn't steal it, and then he sees Edim coming towards the Beit Din, and he's scared that they're going to testify against him that he stole it, and he'll have to pay kefel. So he has to make a choice now. If he waits to see what the Edim say, he could have to pay double. If he admits it of his own volition, Modeh Beknas is Patur, he'll have to pay Karen. So he jumps the gun, Amar Ganafti, and admits to the fact that he stole it. Aval, lo tavachti velo macharti, but I did not shecht it, I did not sell it. Enu Mishalim ela Karen. Over here, he will only pay the Karen. That is because he stole it and admitted to stealing it. And even if Edim come and say that he shechted it or sold it, he will not pay 4 or 5 times. That Rashi notes over here, but we know that from the Gemara and Baba Kama, that 4 or 5 times is comprised of Kefel with the 3 or 4 times built on top of it. So as soon as you eliminate the Kefel, there's also no 4 or 5 times paid. And you've already eliminated the Kefel because he admitted to the Gneva. Once he does that, the Tvicha Mechira will not carry the penalty on top of that, because the Gemara says you pay 4 or 5 times, not 3 and 4 times, and once you eliminate the Kefel, that will be the case. Now the truth is, it's Machloket Rav and Shmuel with regards to whether if a Edim come after his admission, is he Patur or Chayav when he's Modeh Beknas. Well, here's Modeh Beknas, but he saw the Edim come. What happens if the Edim do show up and testify against him? So, according to Rav, it works fine, because Rav says, Modeh Beknas, Vachakach Ba'u Edim is Patur. Problem is for Shmuel, who says, Modeh Beknas, Vachakach Ba'u Edim, Chayav, what's he gonna do here? Looks like the Mishnah supports Rav. So, Tosafot says that you have to say here that the case is where the Edim walked away. They looked like they were coming to Beit Din, but eventually they walk away and never show up in the Beit Din. It scared him enough to admit it, but they never come and testify, and therefore it's Modeh Beknas without Edim coming afterwards and saying that he stole it. That is Shomer Chinam. Now we move on to the Shoel. Amar Lishoel, Hechan Shori. He says to the Shoel, where's my shore? Amar lo, mate. He says that it died. Behu, and the truth is, Shinishbar, Onishba, Onignav, O Abad. And the truth is that it was injured, taken into captivity, stolen, lost. Or he makes the claim, Nishbar, that it was injured. Behu Shemate, and the truth is that it died. Onishba, or it was taken away, onignav, stolen, o avad, or lost, nishba, or he makes the claim that it was hauled off, velu, and the truth is, shemait, it died, onishbar, it was injured, or killed, onignav, or it was stolen, o avad, or lost, nignav, or he makes the claim that it was stolen. Though, and the truth is, shemeit onishbar onishba uavad, and the truth is that it died, it was injured, it was taken into captivity, or lost. Avad, he makes the claim that it was lost. Though, and the truth is that it mate, it died onishbar, or injured onishbar, taken away, or nignav, or it was stolen. Mashbiachani, in all these cases, if he once makes the claim, says, Mashbiachani, I want you to be under oath that that is the truth. Vamar amein, and he responds favorably, amein, patur. In all of these cases, he is patur. A shoel, in all of these instances, will be chayav to pay. So no matter which claim he makes, he's going to have to pay. So whether the claim is true or not true, it doesn't really matter because the claim makes him chayav, and the truth would have made him chayav. So his lying under oath did nothing to release him from his obligation. Heichan shori, if he says, where is my shor? Amarlo, eni yodea ma tasach. And he says, now I have no idea what you're talking about. Behu, and the truth is, shemait, onishbar, onishba, onignav, onehavad. It died, or it was injured, taken into captivity, stolen, or lost. Mashbiachani. And then he says, you're under oath that that's the truth. You have no idea about this transaction. Bamara main, and he responds favorably, here he is chayav. Because when he denies ever having taken the animal, he's going to be patur, denying that he ever borrowed this item. On the other hand, if he had told the truth about what happened to the animal, he would have been chayav. That's a shvua that is releasing him from his obligation. In that case, you're going to be chayav because that is a classic case of shvuata pikadon, taking a shvua that denies a monetary obligation. Amar le nosei sachar vasucher. Now, when it comes to a noset sachar and tzucher, you can see here the Mishnah believes that they are equated in their din. Heichan shuri, and asks him, where's my ox that I deposited with you or that you rented? Amalei, mate. He says that it died. Behu, and the truth is, shenishbar o nishba. The truth is that it was injured or taken into captivity. All of these are considered to be ones. Cases are out of his control, where shomer sachar is patur. Or he makes the claim, nishbar, that it was injured or was attacked by wild animals. The truth is it just died, or it was taken away, hauled off. Or nishba, he makes the claim that it was hauled off. And the truth is that it died, or it was injured or attacked. In those cases, his claim makes him patur, and the truth would have made him patur. Those are three situations in which there is ones, and the shomer sachar is patur. So his claim and the truth would have made him patur. Or he makes the claim nignav. It was stolen. Behush avad. But the truth was it was lost. Or he makes the claim avad that it was lost. Behush nignav. And the truth is it was stolen. Mashbiachani, I put you under oath. Bamar amein. And he responds, yes, I'm telling the truth under oath. Patur. In all these cases, he is patur. In the cases of the ones, he is saying something that would make him patur. But he really was patur because in reality he was patur. In the cases of Gnev and Aveda, what he says makes him chayav. If he had told the truth, he also would have been chayav. So he's doing nothing that changes what his obligation or his lack of obligation would have been. On the other hand, if he makes the claim, mate, onishbar, onishba, he makes one of those claims of ones which would have released him from obligation. Behu, when the truth is, shenignav o avad, it was stolen or lost. Behushav, mashbiachani. In that case, he makes him take a shvua, v'amar amein, and he says, amein chayav. In that case, he is chayav. Because his claim of ones made him patur. Had he told the truth of Gnev and Aveda, he would have been chayav. That's your shvua to pikadon, where you're taking a shvua, denying a monetary obligation. Avad o nignav, if he makes a claim of Aveda or Gneva, v'hu, and the truth is, shemait, onishbar, onishba, it was one of the onsin that really happened, mashbiach ani, puts him under oath, Bamar amein, and he says, yes, patur. Because over there, his claim made him chayav when he really was patur. Had he told the truth, he would have been patur. Now that he makes his claim, he's chayav. So he's actually obligating himself in money or to make compensation here where he didn't have to. So that's clearly not a case of shvata pikadon. Shvata pikadon is when you're denying a monetary obligation. Here you are incriminating yourself and making yourself chayav when you would be patur. Zeklau, this is the principle. Kol mishaneh mechova lechova. Anybody who makes a change from what they otherwise would have been obligated in to something else that makes them obligated, umi patur le patur, or from a case where he would be patur to a case where, had he told the truth, he would have been patur, umi patur le chuva, or if he changes from something, a claim that would have made him patur, and instead he lies and makes himself chayav, in all of those cases you are patur, because there is no denial of a monetary obligation. Mi chova leptur, on the other hand, if he takes something where he would have been obligated had he told the truth, and then he lies under oath saying something that makes him patur, in that case you are chayav for shvat ha-pikadon. Zekal, this is the principle. Anybody who takes a shvua to release themselves, to reduce the monetary obligation they have, chayav. Lachmir latzmo, if he's doing it to increase his liability, then of course he's going to be patur, because there's no denial of a monetary obligation. You can see here on the side of the Gemara, Yushalmi lo garsina and zeaklau. Yushalmi does not have this zeaklau. There are, first of all, two klalim over here, which is strange, because they're basically repeating the same thing, just in different words. So that's the first thing that's unusual. The second thing that is unusual is what was missing from the Mishnah. The Mishnah was so explicit about every single case. What's missing that you need Zaklau? And that's a classic Bavli question. Whenever the Mishnah has at the end Zaklau, it comes to say, what's that coming to include? That is absent in our Gemara. The Gemara never asks Zaklau letuyemai, which is also indicative of the fact that this Zaklau may not have been in the Mishnah, because otherwise you would have expected the Bavli to ask that question, especially in this case, where it seemingly is extraneous, because we covered everything in the Mishnah. So there are those, like the Yushalmi, who take out these from the Girsa. Some take out the first Zaklau, some take out the second Zaklau, some take out both Zaklau. Or you just have to say that this Zaklau is just a way to summarize, but not your classic Zaklau, it's just a way to end off the Masechta with a Zaklau, but there's no real underlying meaning, it's not adding anything to the Mishnah. Now the Gemara says, Matana Arba'a Shomrim. Which Tana believes that there are four Shomrim? Because the Mishnah began, Arba'a Shomrim. There are four Shomrim. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rabba Baravua, Rabbi Meir he. It has to be Rabbi Meir. Amar Le Robo, the Rav Nachman, Robo, the Talmud of Rav Nachman, says to him, Mi Katana, the Lele Arba'a Shomrim. Is there any Tama who doesn't think that there are four Shomrim? Amar Le, Hachika Amina, Lukha. This is what I meant to say. Mantana damar sucher kenosei sachar dami. Who is the Tana that believes a renter has the same status as a shomer sachar? Amar Rabba Barua, Rabbi Meir he. It is Rabbi Meir who's the author of that position. And the Gemara says, va Rabbi Meir ipchosh meinen lei. Don't we have Rabbi Meir who says just the opposite? The Tanya, we have a Braita. The reason has the Tanan here and the Tanya is because there is a Mishnah in Baba Metzia, and there's also a Braita in Baba Metzia. And the truth is that the Braita and the Mishnah have their positions reversed. And that is what the Gemara is pointing out over here. The Tanya, Socher, Ketzad Mishalim. A Socher, how does he pay? What's his liability? Rabbi Meir Omer, Kishomer Chinam. As the dinner Shomer Chinam, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Kenose Sachar. Rabba Baravua, Ipcha Toni. Rabba Baravua has their positions reversed. And so therefore, you have this confusion or this all over Shas as to whether Rabbi Meir or Rabbi Yehuda has the position of Shomer Chinam or Shomer Sachar, because you have two different Tanaic works, and you have Amoraim that bring the Tanaic works with their positions reversed in them. And so we don't know which one has which position, but the Mishnah here follows the one who says that a Socher is Kenosei Sachar, and he's saying that it is Rabbi Meir based on the fact that the Mishnah attributes that to Rabbi Meir. And even though we have a Braita that seems to say the opposite, we have the version of the Braita that Rabba Baravua brings where it's flipped around and it conforms to what we saw in the Mishnah. So Gemara says, Ahani arba ahavu? Wait a minute. Since when are there four here? Shlosha havu. There are only three in the end. Because if you say that a socher is a shomer sachar, then there are only three in the Mishnah. There is a shomer chinam, a shoel, and nosei sachar socher, which is one category. They aren't separate categories. So what are you telling me that there are four? Sounds like there are only three. Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, arba'a shomrim, v'dinehem shlosha. There are four shomrim, but there are only three categories or three types, three dinim that apply to them. I mean, three categories of liability that apply to these individuals. That is shomer chinam shoel and nosei sachar. And nosei sachar captures socher in it. The truth is that even if you believe the other way around, that a socher was a shomer chinam, you would be faced with the same problem. The Gemara's question over here seems strange. It's asking it within the position of Rabbi Meir, who says that socher is shomer sachar. Oh, there are only three. The truth is, if you learned the other way around, that a socher was a shomer chinam, you'd be in the same bind. Instead of socher being with Nosei Sakhar, it would just be with Shomer Chinam, and you'd have four Shomerim with only three Dinim as well. What you have to say is that it is different to compare a socher to a Nosei Sakhar. A socher and a Nosei Sakhar are very similar in nature, which is that there is Hana'ah to both parties in that case. You have the Shomer who's providing a service to the individual he's watching, but he's also getting compensated. So there's a bilateral agreement between them that gives both of them benefit. The socher is the same thing as well, which is the socher is using the item or utilizing the item, but he's paying rent or he's giving compensation for that. So again, there's a bilateral agreement that gives both of them hana'ah. In that case, a socher and a shomer sakhar are almost identical. On the other hand, if you compared a socher to a shomer chinam, you're really dealing with different categories. Shomer chinam, the shomer itself is getting no benefit. He's providing a service to the other party with no benefit in return, as opposed to a socher, where it's clear that there is bilateral hana'ah. So if you compared a socher to shomer chinam, you could understand why we kept four categories in the Mishnah. On the other hand, once you make a socher and nosei sakhar, they're so close and so similar, that's why the question was posed on Rabbi Meir, and that's why once we set it up like Rabbi Meir, we ask the question instead of asking the question in general. Alright. Amar le shomer chinam, hechan shari v'chulei, amar le chad v'shuk v'chulei, amar le shomer v'chulei, hechan shari, amar lo eni yodea matasach v'chulei. The Gemara is just quoting large chunks of the Mishnah and saying all of this has application to what we're about to say, and this was, David, your question on the Mishnah. Amarav, v'chulam turim mishvat ha-shomrim, v'chayavim mishum shvat bitoy. Every time our Mishnah says patur from the obligations that would stem from shvat ha-pikadon, that's because he didn't deny any monetary obligation under oath. So he doesn't qualify for shvat ha-pikadon. On the other hand, he lied under oath. Lying under oath is a violation of Shvat Bitoy. And if he did it b'shogeg, he'd be chayav a korban oleh v'yoreid for Shvat Bitoy. Or if he did it b'mezid, he'd be chayav makot for lying under oath. So what Rav says is, the Mishnah when it says patur is addressing the topic of this perek, which is Shvat HaPikadon. But there is another problem that would arise if you really looked at this, which is that there's Shvat Bitoy now. And there is somebody lying under oath, and they're going to be chayav for that.
Tosafo does ask over here, why don't we invoke the principle of Rabbi Yishmael that kol devar sheyatza lidon bedvar chadash hi ata yechol lechzir lechlalo ad shekuzenu hakatuv beferush, which means that here the shvuah that he's taking is subject to shvuat hapikadon. It's left the world of shvuat bitoy, and therefore it shouldn't go back to the world of shvuat bitoy unless the pasuk explicitly states so. So Tosafo here comes up with a qualification of that principle. And he says, nearly, the low dummy, the hotum yotzel hakel, hilkachavi chidush. When the pasuk takes it out and separates it from the remainder of the group for something that is a kulah, then you can't bring it back. Of a hocha, the yotzel hachmir, that here where it takes it out to be a shvata pikadon, which would be something that's a chomra, a fisha kofer mamon, ain ze chidush. That is not considered to be a chidush because you've added on severity to the item. But here, the pasuk puts it in that category of shvat ha-pikadon because of the kfirat mamon, which is a chumrah, ein ze chidush. That's not a chidush, that's just increasing the severity of the problem and adding on an additional dimension, but it's not separating it away from shvat bitoy, and therefore you could be chayav shvat bitoy, even though this is now in the world of shvat pikadon. Shmuel amar, af turim mishvam shvat bitoy. Shmuel says, they're not only patur from shvat ha-pikadon, or Shvat HaShomrim, they are Chapator from Shvat Bitoy. B'mai Kamiflegei. What are they arguing about? Shmuel Savar Leta Belahaba. This is actually Rav and Shmuel the Shittatam earlier on in the Masechta, which is Shmuel believes that in order for it to be a Shvat Bitoy and be culpable for it, it has to be the type of Shvua that you can take in the past tense and you can take in the future tense. Over here, that's not possible. All the shvot in this Mishnah are only relevant in the past tense. They're not relevant in the future tense. And that is because you can't say your animal will die or your animal won't die. That's not in your control. Your animal will be stolen. Your animal will be lost. Those aren't things that are within your control. So you can't say it in the future tense. You can only make the shvua in the past tense. And that's a failure in shvat bitoy according to Shmuel. Rav Savar, Rav believes that the test for shvat bitoy is belav and hain. It has to be able to be formulated both in the negative and positive form.
And that you could do over here. You could take a shvua that it died, or you could also take a shvua that it didn't die. You could take a shvua that it was stolen or it wasn't stolen. Those are all possible. You can positively and negatively formulate it, and therefore it does qualify as a shvuat bitui. Vayif l'gube ba chadazimno. Wait a minute, don't we already know this machloket? We saw it back on Daf Kofei in the Masechta Ditmar. Machloket Amoraim. Shvua, she zarak plonit zror layam. A shvua that so-and-so threw a pebble or a stone into the sea. Shvua shalozarak. Or a shvua that he did not do that. Rav amar chayav. Rav says you're chayav. You can formulate it in the positive. You can formulate it in the negative. Chayav. Shmuel amar patur. Because you can only formulate it in the past tense because you're speaking about someone else. So when you're speaking about someone else, you can say something about what happened. You can't say what will happen because you don't control that person in terms of the future. Rav amar chayav ita b'la v'hein, because you can formulate it positively and negatively. Shmuel amar patur deleta b'la haba, because there's no possibility of formulating in the future tense. Tzricha, we need both machlokot, both the machloket we saw back in Chav Hei, as well as their machloket now on our Mishnah. Diashmin and Baha, had you only told me this, Baha kam harav mishum midinafshe kamishtabo, because he's taking the shvua of his own volition. That back on Chav Hei is a voluntary shvua, which he does of his own volition. Of Ahach, in our Mishnah, the Beit Din HaMashbi'alei, that he is in Beit Din, and Beit Din is compelling him to take the Shvua, Ema Modilei the Shmuel. Maybe he would agree to Shmuel, Kid the Rabbi Ami, similar to Rabbi Ami. What would be the reason to have a difference between whether he's taking his own volition or someone else is saying and he's answering Amen? Dama Rabbi Ami, Ko Shvua, Shedayani Mashbim Ota, Ein Chayvin Alei Mishum Shvat Bidui. Because Rabbi Ami has a principle that Shvat Bidui doesn't have application when you're being compelled by a Beit Din. Only if you take it of your own volition is it considered to be a Shvat Bidui. If someone else is imposing the Shvua on you, then it is not considered to be a Shvat Bidui. That doesn't mean if another party says, take a Shvua and you answer Amen, that's not considered to be compelled. Compelled means that you are in Beit Din, you're doing it not of your own volition, but because you're in the context of a court, and the court is compelling you to take a shvua in that instance. V'itmar baha, had you only told me the case here on our Mishnah, baha kamar Shmuel. That's when Shmuel says that it's not shvat bitoy because Beit Din is compelling you. Aval baha, on the case on Daf Chav Hei, ema modile the Rav. Maybe he would agree to Rav's position because over there it's voluntary. Tzricha. Therefore, we need both instances of the machloket to tell us that they argue in both instances. Now we have to understand Rabbi Ami. Gufa, Amar Rabbi Ami, Ko Shvua, Shadayinim, Mashbinota, Ein Ba Mishum Shvat Bidui. Rabbi Ami says that any Shvua that is compelled by the Dayanim is not considered to be a Shvat Bidui, Shenemar. Because the Pasuk says, by Shvat Bidui, O Nefesh, Ki Tishava, Levatei, Vesvatayim. Me'atzmo. That shows you it must be voluntary. There's nothing really in that Pasuk that shows it has to be voluntary, but it is because of the Reish Lakish. Because of what Reish Lakish teaches us, we see this many times quoted in Chumash to explain the word ki. The word ki has many different definitions. And that's what Reish Lakish says. Am Reish Lakish, ki mishtamesh barba lishonot. The ki manifests itself in four different ways in the Torah. It can be I, which means im. That ki means if. It could be dilma, which is shema ella. It could be but, or daha, which means because of, or since. So those four definitions of ki are all applicable, and if you actually look in the Rabbeinu Chananel, he gives you examples of each one. He says, Goresh Lakish, Damar ki mishamesh dala shanot, I dilma eladaha, I, an example of im is, ki karei kan sipor lefanecha. That is, if you come across a bird, shoo away the mother bird and take the eggs, ki there mean if, and that is I. Dilma is ki tomar bilbavka. If you were to say, or maybe you will say in your heart, there the key is, maybe you will say, or you might think to say, then Ella is ki patoach tiptach et yadcha lo. Don't withhold giving this person something. Ki, Ella. But you should open up, or however, you should open up your hand and give him staka. Daha, which is by Aaron HaKohen, by his death, it says, Vayru kol eda ki gava Aaron, that they saw that Aaron had died. What does it mean, ki gava Aaron? Since Aaron had died, the next thing is there, Vayilachem, that they go to battle, that the Kenani attack them. And the reason is because ki gava Aaron, because Aaron had passed away. That's the Midrash explanation of that Pasuk. But he gives you an example of where ki means since or because Aaron had died. So those are the four examples of ki. And obviously Rabbi Ami over here is reading the word ki tishava as being im, if. If he takes a shvua l'matei svataim, which means that it was voluntary. Im means if you do. If you're compelled to do it, it's not if you take a shvua. There you were imposed upon and compelled to take the shvua. On the other hand, Rav obviously has to read the pasuk, not as ki in the sense of im, because Rav believes that you take a shvua even if it was imposed upon you, and therefore he has to read it as daha. Rav darish lei b'lashon daha, sharei tishava, because you took a shvua, or since you took a shvua, therefore now you're going to be obligated if you abrogate or if it was a lie. So that is the meaning according to Rav, which is daha, and that's why it does not preclude the possibility of Beit Din compelling him to take a shvua. It's not telling you how the shvua came about. It's telling you, since you took a shvua and it was false, this is going to be the outcome, or this is going to be the result of that situation. Rabbi Elazar Omer, kulam turin mishvuat shomrim. All of the cases in our Mishnah are patur from shvuat shomrim, v'chayavim mishum shvuat bitui, and are obligated in a shvuat bitui. Sounds like Rav's position. Chutz mi eni yodea ma tatsach. Dishoel, gneva v'aveda denosei sachar. Except for the cases of where the Shoel says, I have no idea what you're talking about, or the Gneva Baveda, where the Nosei Sechar, the Socher, have a theft or lost, Shu Chayav, Shei Kafro Mamon. Because in those cases, he is Chayav, because he denied a monetary obligation. Now, it's a little strange, the formulation of Rabbi Elazar, because he only picked two items in the Mishnah which you are Chayav for. And he said, oh, if you are Chayav for Shvat, Pikadon for Shvat HaShomrim, then you're not Chayav for Shvat Bitoy. On the other hand, if you are Patur, then you are Chayav for Shvat Bitoy. The Mishnah has a large set of examples of Patur, and he included all of those. But the Mishnah also has all those huge examples of Chayav, and he did not include all of those. Why did he only mention these? So Rashi explains that over here. What about the case of Shomi Chinam, where he claims that it was lost and he really ate it? Ubetuay Nignab, Vu Ganbo, where he made a claim of Gneva and he really stole it. Tiktaniba Matnitin, in our mission it says, Hodevatsmo, Mishalim Karen Bechomesh Vasham. Those are cases where you are Chayab. Why does Rabbi Elazar not mention those as cases where you're Chayab Shvata Pikadon and not Shvata Bitui? Lo Itzkrikale the Rabbi Elazar the Mimninu, Gabi Hanach, Chutz, he didn't have to list them in that exception cases. Because in the Mishnah, those examples, it says not just the word chayav, it says that if you're hodeh ma'atzmo, then you are mishalim kerem v'chomesh v'asham. So in those cases, it spelled it out, so there's no question about what you're chayav for. And the other instance of the Mishnah where it just wrote chayav, those are the instances where maybe it wasn't clear, and that's where Rabbi Elazar indicates what the meaning of the chayav is in that case. That's the way Rashi reads it. The Ramban, on the other hand, says it has nothing to do with that. The cases that he brought are different than the cases of the examples in the Mishnah. The cases in the Mishnah are Toin Tanat Ganav and Avad, where he is actually a thief. The reason he is chayav in those cases is because he's a thief. In the other cases here, the reason he is chayav is because he denies a monetary obligation, and then he takes a shvua to substantiate that fact. And in truth, he was really chayav. So that is why the cases or the examples that are brought by Rabbi Elazar, those are cases where the shvua was a denial of a monetary obligation. The cases that he left out, the ones that Rashi claims the Mishnah says explicitly, are actually not cases where it's the shvua the pikadon that makes him chayav, it's the fact that he stole that makes him chayav. He actually took the money, he actually was a ganav in those cases, and that's why they left out of Rabbi Elazar's list according to the Ramban. Okay, with that, we finish Perek Arba Shomrim and Masechet Shvuot. Hadron Alach Arba Shomrim and Slikala Masechet Shvuot.